Welcome to the Boostly podcast. This is a podcast that gives hosts the tools, the tactics, the training, and most importantly, the confidence so you can go out there and get yourselves direct bookings. We have a mini series on this podcast where we dive behind the host, where we talk to successful, interesting hosts from around the world. And today we've got an amazing host, somebody I've known many years. I consider him a friend who's part of the Team Boostly community and is a great big character in there. He runs a bed and breakfast, and we're going to get his kind of journey and all of the teachings and all of the things from his long hospitality career that we can share with you as our listener today. So let me introduce our special guest, and this is Harrow. He's from a business called The Hive at 52. And this is fantastic to dive in. I'm really excited about this today. So welcome along, Harrow. Thanks for joining
me. Liam.
So first question for yourself is, can you give yourself an elevator pitch and describe the business as to where it is in the world and what it's like?
The Hive 52, as you say, it's a B&B. It's only small. We've got three bedrooms. We're based in a village called Wavering, which is in Cheshire in the northwest of England. We've been open 10 years this year. So at the end of the year, I think we opened in November. So it'd be 10 years. So 10 years of my life, really. Before that, I was in hospitality for 20 odd years in hotels. So it's not anything new for me.
That's cool. I mean, first of all, congratulations. 10 years in your own business is amazing. They say many own businesses don't get to 5 years, you know, something like 2% only get to 5 years. So to do 10 years in your own business is amazing. And I've got to see it grow over what I've kind of known you in the Boostly Academy for I've been around there in about 4 years. So, you know, it's I've seen it grow and I've seen some of the amazing work you're doing, which we're going to dive into on this episode. I detect it's not a local accent. So whereabouts are you from? What is your history before this?
I'm originally from Holland, or as now called the Netherlands, apparently. Came over in 1994, so there we go. Another celebration. I've been in the country for 30 years. It is August.
Nice.
Came across, first of all, just for a year to work in London, and then decided to stay on a bit. Got a new job, other job, and I ended up in Cheshire. And I'm married to an English lady as well, so that sort of made me stay as well. And yeah, so 30 years this year, so...
Nice, two big celebrations. So all the talking about decades in two different celebrations, which is amazing. You got to do something special this year. Is there anything special planned this year? Is this quite a big year for you?
Well, I haven't really thought of it, really. It just sort of just comes about, you know, time flies, really. It's quite scary in a lot of ways. So I don't really know. I probably will do something, but I haven't really thought of it.
No, that's cool. You got plenty of time. You got the entire year to come up with it. So
exactly. So
you mentioned there was a lot of time in hospitality before you've opened the business. So talk us through that and some of the kind of lessons and things that you've learned that you took into your own business. And then if you can talk us up to why you started your own bed and breakfast.
Yeah, so when I'm in the Netherlands, I studied hotel and catering management, and I did that for 3 years. I had to do a bit of national service as well, but luckily I was actually chef in the army, so that helped me a little bit. And then when I came to the UK, I was a chef for about 9 months in a hotel in central London. And but I sort of knew that I couldn't make a career out of it because I didn't have the city and guilds or NVQs, whatever they call now. And so I decided to go across to front of house. So started off in a 900-bedroom hotel of Oxford Street as a receptionist, and then slowly sort of climbed up there, moved around in London, and then I got a position as revenue manager in a 900-bedroom hotel on Piccadilly Circus,
nice.
Which was obviously my first senior position, and then in the absolutely beast of a hotel as well. And so I learned a lot there quite quickly, moved around, and then got myself up to operations manager in hotels. So I did everything, so rooms and food and beverage. Then the children came along and I didn't really want to do the long days anymore, work the weekends, work Christmas, work all the days people normally have off. And then I went back into revenue management, and that's where I ended up, really, revenue and sales for the last couple of years of my career. And then at one stage, I finished a maternity cover in a hotel. And it was a period where it was quite uncertain. I don't know if it was a recession or something like that, but it was very difficult to find a position. So then I worked, did a temporary role as an F&B manager somewhere. And then we sort of started to talk about maybe we should do something for ourselves. It was sort of in the back of my mind. My wife is in hotels as well. She's an accountant in hotels. So that's sort of where it came from. And then at the time, that time when I couldn't find a position, we decided to go for it. And it took us quite a while to go through the process because we wanted to make sure that we put the planning in properly and had a good think on how we were going to do it. And then in 2014, we sort of started the building work. And then late in the year, we opened. So yeah.
Nice. So there's the bed and breakfast that was your family home before and switched into the bed and breakfast, is that right?
Yeah, correct. So it's a detached home from 1876, so it's got plenty of space. And we just converted to sort of the front of the house into the B&B. Mm-hmm. And the back of the house is our family area. So, and it's quite nice because it's separate because we've got an extension at the back with our own stair. So we can completely close it off as well. So maybe in the future, we'll follow the STR trend and maybe convert it into a short-term holiday land.
Yeah, by all means. The opportunity is there. What I love about this is, I mean, I'm learning. I didn't know this about you, Harrow. And as I say, we've known each other a little while. And those skills that you've taken in, I mean, sales and revenue management and accounting is kind of like if you can go into your own business with those skills from your previous transferable, sort of careers, which is amazing. So that gives you a really good, a good stead. And when people look at the Hive at 52, one thing that always stands out for me is the branding on your business is very good. They're very strong colors. How did you come up with the name? Why is it called the Hive at 52?
Again, we looked at it and the house was initially called Roxburgh. We didn't have any sort of link. Obviously, Roxburgh is quite a Scottish name. And then we're just writing down names we could think of. And then you come up with Rose Cottage and things like that, so Bluebell Cottage. And then actually my youngest daughter, who I think she was about 9 at the time, said, well, why don't you call it the Hive? A bit like a beehive, people coming in and out, bees coming in and out. And we're like, yeah. So then we had the branding done by somebody I used to work with in one of the hotels I was in. And so we got him to do the trade designs. And I think the designs he came up with obviously was the Hive. And we called it the Hive at 52 because of the domain name was quite generic. So that's why it came 52 with number 52 as well. Mm-hmm. The other one he had was Snoring Club. And Honeycomb. So Honeycomb could be, but it wasn't very catchy. Snoring Club.
Yeah, people don't like snoring.
You, that sounded more like a swingers club or something like that. So we decided and we thought the Hive was ideal, really, isn't it? It is a bit like a beehive, people coming in. And a lot of people now, when you look at Google, people are actually looking for the beehive as well.
Yep.
So, yeah, so it worked out really well. We still love our branding, 10, 12 years after it was actually designed. So, yeah.
If you're struggling on how to get direct bookings and overwhelmed on where to start, then I recommend you go and book in a call with Boostly and our team right now. We can walk you through exactly what we're offering, how we can help you, and give you a portfolio of websites that we have worked with that are matching not only your niche, but could be in your location as well. Boostly has helped over 2,000 hospitality businesses all over the world increase their direct bookings. And if you are interested, then all you need to do is go to Boostly, boostly.co.uk/call and book in an appointment with one of our sales team.
It's one of the things for people listening to this who are wondering where to get started with branding. And the truth is that you kind of have just got to pick a direction and go with it. But like you say, make sure it is something that you really like, because I look at my branding for my STR business and I still love that. And it's got to be something that you're going to probably have a long time. And yes, you can change it. But ultimately, if you do find something you like and that works as well in terms of, you've got the whole concept around it, which is the logo, the colors and all that stuff, just makes things so much easier to be able to brand. Yeah. And we'll pay dividends for years. So that's
what I think as well, what we like about it, because at the time my daughters were 9 and 10 and we sort of wanted them involved, but we didn't want to name them on the website just for obvious reasons.
Yes.
The guy who designed it, if you look at our logo, it's got a bee and a daisy flower. My youngest daughter's called Beatrice.
Oh, nice.
My eldest daughter's called Daisy. So that's sort of where the link is as well. But also, I think for people as well, sometimes, you know, people sort of don't spend the money on certain things. And we just wanted to make sure that at the time we spent decent money on a good website, which 10 years ago was fine. And also the branding for us was very important. So we invested quite a decent amount on that. And I think that's important as well, that sometimes it is hard to invest your money, but I think sometimes it's well worth, because as you say, you're going to have your branding for 10, 15 years.
Yeah. And how easy you are to find is so important, isn't it? Making it easy for your guests to identify. Yeah. Before we dive more into kind of the marketing and that side of things of your business, who comes to stay with you? What is your guest avatar?
My guest avatar is David and Mary, who are about 55 plus 60, retired or semi-retired. They love their gardens. They love stately homes. And also what they like to do is combine visits to gardens with visits to relatives who live around here, either sisters, brothers, grandchildren, daughters, sons. So it's a bit of a combination. A big chunk of our clientele, our guest avatar, are people visiting relatives. And quite a lot of times is all elderly relatives or actually their grandchildren. But yeah, the age range overall is between 55 and 70, really.
Nice. What I love about this as well, for people listening, you've named your avatar, you know what they like, you know why they're coming to stay. And although obviously, like all of us, you do get people who fall outside of those avatars, that ultimately, once you know who your primary person is that is most likely to come and book, again, that means your blogs and the marketing and what you offer can be centered around that one person, can't it? And that's really cool to see. So at the moment, when you've set up your business and obviously you started hosting, what software do you use in your business or have you used over the years to help you run your business?
I started off with, well, I'm still with Free to Book. For me as a B&B, it's what I need. I don't need all singing or dancing. And it works for me. And I think it works for a lot of people. I think there's a lot of people in the group as well who are still with Free to Book. I'm sure there's better ones outside. But what I do like about Free to Book is it's relatively small and they are quite quick to react to help desk queries and things like that. Maybe sometimes they're not as quick with reacting to new things in the out in the world. But it's a very good product for me. It's a reasonable price, I think. And it does what I needed to do.
It's all you need, isn't it, at the end of the day? And that you don't have to spend, I mean, we speak to some hosts who've got stacks and stacks of software, but ultimately each pound that you spend on software needs to pay you back in some way. And once you've found something that works and is at the right price, then sticking with it is a great idea. Is there anything else that you use in your business at all? Any kind of email send outs and things like that, or anything you use for that side of the business?
Yeah, so I used the usual things, you know, MailChimp to send out my newsletter or any other information. The variety of social media, I don't know if you can call it that, but that's really it. Really, I'm not really. I like tech, but I'm not a techie guy. I'm not great at it. I just like the systems to be very simple. Simple to use, simple to understand, but really with a working really well for me. So I haven't really got a huge amount of tech. I've got a mobile phone and I do a lot on that. I've got my laptop and that's all I need really.
Yeah, that makes sense. And at the end of the day, it means you can focus on the hospitality side of the business and getting guests, can't you? So
yeah.
Let's talk about that. How do you get your guests at the moment? Where do the majority of them sort of come from? And is there any kind of marketing techniques that you use to attract your perfect guest?
Well, you're probably happy to hear that 80% of my bookings are direct.
Wow, that's amazing.
And then 20% is through booking.com.
Nice.
I am on Airbnb, but I can't really compete with 25 quid rooms. Yeah. I don't really want to compete with them. And I can't really compete with, you know, people who rent out their house. So I am on it. but I'm not actively promoting it or anything like that. Especially the last year, I think I'm a lot more consistent with my social media. I post 4 times a week on a Monday, a Wednesday, a Friday, and a Sunday. I'll do a story. I'll do some reels sometimes if I think about it. But yeah, my social media posts are very regular. I try to also, again, with the help of AI, actually. I mean, a lot of my posts are done with the help of AI. It just saves me so much time. But then I still try to keep them as personal to me as well, you know, with the odd spelling mistake in it, being Dutch. So that's really the main chunk. But the main, even up before any social media or email newsletters, is I look after my guests. And when I look after my guests, they put great reviews on the variety of websites, a Google, TripAdvisor, and that sort of attract people, because there's so many people who have said, I've read your reviews, so I booked you instead of the hotel and down the road. And I think that just proves that, you know, I must be doing something right that attracts. And I get, because of my reviews, I could also people referring within the village, within the area, saying, oh yeah, my brother is coming, can you accommodate him? So I think that's the main reason, the first of me reason I attract guests. And then the rest is the author, your other things, your social media, newsletters, things like that.
No, that's amazing. And at the end of the day, a couple of things I want to pick up on for the people listening to this is, first of all, the consistency is one thing. Like you say, you don't have to, you know, be posting 7 days a week, but just being consistent in general, or more consistent. And, you know, we're all hosts, we all get busy. So sometimes, you know, we fall off the consistency side of things. But as long as we're picking that back up, you're more likely to get guests who come and find you. And then actually you're using your previous guests as a way of marketing by delivering great experiences to them, and then them reviewing. And then other people seeing those reviews, you're picking more and more people trust your business. And everything about your business is for people who want to go and have a look at the Hive at 52. Is it .co.uk?
.co.uk, yeah.
Yeah. So it just screams professional, you know, it shows very professional. And for the people who are coming to visit, is it Cheshire? Am I right?
Cheshire, yeah, correct.
Yeah. So for the people coming to visit there's somewhere where they can trust and they know that what kind of experience they're going to get. Well, one other thing which comes to light is that you're very consistent with your blogs as well for your website. And how does that help you to get your website seen? Does it help with SEO and things like that?
To be honest, I'm not really sure about things like that. You know, that's probably one of the big areas where I do need some help, and I do need to look at it. Because one, it doesn't really interest me. Mm-hmm. And two, I think it's quite a niche kind of thing, SEO. So I have looked at it, but it's something I need to look at. Yes, I do my blog. It's hard work. I know it's really difficult to do, but I do try to do my blogs. And I do think it helps with SEO as well. And especially because in the last few years, we really start to look at our sustainability as well, and try to push that. And it is another great story, you know. Yeah, I can look after my guests, I can make a good breakfast, I can clean the B&B, it looks lovely. But the sustainability, obviously, especially now in the last few years, it's a big attraction to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to do both on my social media and my blogs. But as I said, SEO is not my forte.
No, but it does. It looks very good on your website to see the regular blogs. And one of the things which I can see you've adopted is that you're telling the story instead of trying to sell on your blogs. You know, you're just saying, hey, back in November, I was invited to a podcast and this is amazing. By the way, we've just put up our solar panels on the top of the roof. This is helping us to be sustainable, save money, and attract more guests who, you know, sort of who care about the environment, and you know, the vibe attracts the tribe. So it just is really fantastic example for anyone listening, you know, to go and check out. Really, really impressive to see.
Well,
that.
I don't like the hard sell.
No.
You know, when I get an email and it's sell, I turn it off. You know, so from my point of view as well, I'm thinking, well, how do I want to sell my business? It's the way I want to be sold to as well. I don't like the hard sell. You know, I switch off.
People buy from people.
Sometimes wrongly, but 99% of the time I'm sort of right. when I sort of turn off. So
yeah, no,
it's why I do that.
At the end of the day, it comes across on the blog as just a genuine person who is very hospitable. Do you know what I mean? To host people. So what are some of the biggest tips that you've picked up over? You had 20 years in the hotel industry, and then obviously you've had 10 years hosting direct. What are some of the tips you'd like to share with people listening? Is there anything which has helped you along the way that you'd say could help others too?
Yeah, well, especially when I work for a boss, when somebody is not very nice to you, you sort of just, let it go over your shoulders, over your head. When you run your own business, it is hard because it's your own business. And rightly or wrongly, if somebody gives you feedback and it's right, then it's fine. I can cope with that. But when it's harsh and it's not right, at first, especially at the start, I took it personal and I got really, really grumpy and to say bluntly, really pissed off with it. But it's actually not, your mood doesn't affect your guest who just put that review or, give you that feedback. That's your family and your relatives who sort of suffer from your bad mood. So that's the one thing. And even now, sometimes I have it, but I sort of thinking, oh, well, can't please everybody. So that's sort of really what I tried to say. You can't please everybody. A B&B is not for everybody. A short let rental is not for everybody. A hotel is not for everybody. So there is a place for somebody, So that's sort of what I've really had to learn from when I became an employee to become my own boss, to sort of sometimes just sort of say, let it just, come off your shoulders. Don't let it, wind you up and stuff like that. It's hard, but because it's your own little baby, but it has helped me a lot, sort of step over that.
Quick break from the podcast to let you know that the two Boostly books that we brought out, the Book Direct Playbook and the Book Direct Blueprint, are two of the top rated and the best selling in the hospitality category on Amazon. For just £2, you can grab both of those books right now. The foundations and the structures that you need to put in place is in the blueprint. And then for 101 marketing tactics, that is in the playbook. So go and grab a copy on Amazon now. Just type in Book Direct Playbook or the Book Direct Blueprint, and we'll see you on the other side.
It's great advice. I think one thing that I noticed time and time again is we can get, 20 great reviews, but that one review is where we focus our time, where somebody's
happy with somebody. Focus on the positive.
Yeah, exactly. Focus on the other 20, which are giving you the great review. And there's always going to be disgruntled people. You can't please all of the people all of the time, ultimately. And it's very tough, though. You do have to train yourself to kind of guard yourself ready for that. There will be a bad review, at some stage in the future again. And it is a case of sort of guarding yourself against that. And just knowing that you can't win them all, but focus on the positive, which is
and great. Also you get the guests to put your review, they see through it. If you've got 9 good reviews and 1 bad one, they see through it. If that person who booking thinking, oh, there's a really bad one, maybe you don't want that particular guest because he's focusing on that bad one as well. So
there's we've had all sorts where there's been things like somebody tried to defraud us and gave us a 1-star review and then got people to go on Google and give us 1-star review, things like that. And you look at it and you just go, well, you can reply to the review and you can put factually what has happened because others are going to read it. But ultimately, just focus on all the people that you're doing good for. And then when others read through the, out of 150 reviews, if there's 1 or 2 bad ones, and people weigh stuff up, don't they? People have got a good gauge on that sort of stuff.
I think the big thing for me as well throughout the years as well is just like, I think what you need to do is get the basics. When you start a business, get the basics right first. Mm. Yes, it'd be lovely to do everything well and all that, but you will make mistakes at the start. Get the basics right and then take small steps thereafter. And then, because when you take small steps, you don't get overwhelmed. We read a lot of times on the Facebook groups as well. It's like, oh, all this information is like, well, you can't do it all in once. No. Just take small steps, but make sure that your basic is there, your basis is there, that you look after your guest, and then the rest will sort of follow.
No, it's great advice. Great advice. And what does the future look like? Obviously, you've had 10 years in the business at the moment. Is there any kind of things that you're planning on the horizon, or is it just business as usual?
Yeah, it's business as usual. I mean, 10 years, you know, we will need to, I mean, we sort of replaced up on a rolling basis anyway, but there probably is likely to be some bigger things we need to replace. But otherwise, it's business as usual. Do what I do best and look after my guests, continue with my social media. Maybe I might be doing a podcast myself. You know, nice. You know, it's something I've got in the back of my mind, you know. So it's a part of my business as well, but also on the side of it. Continue with my social media. I'm working with that. I'm actually doing an 8-week digital marketing course. I start next week, I think it is, which is really intense. So I don't really know how I'm going to fit that in, but that I'm looking forward to that. So hopefully I'll learn something from that as well, which I can then put back into the business. Mm-hmm. And as I said, you know, I am getting older. You know, I don't want to do 20 years more doing breakfast at 7 o'clock in the morning. So you never know. I might put a kitchen out in my breakfast room and just, you know, let them out as a short-term holiday let and stuff like that to make it a bit easy for me. So yeah, but for the next 5 to 10 years, I think it'd just be business as usual, do what I want. But keep on changing with the times as well. You know, things are changing so quickly, you'll have to go with the times. So, you know, the investment will need to be made on things like that. And the one big thing for us is to continue on the sustainability journey. Mm-hmm. We're lucky we've got solar panels installed and we've got air source heat pumps. So we're really only relying on gas for our stove. And we probably keep that for a bit, especially with the uncertainty about electricity. But there is a lot of things, especially the small things where we need to improve on the sustainability. So I think that's a big one for us that we want to continue doing what we're looking after, I guess, but keeping a very close eye on how we do that and making sure that we don't becoming, well, hopefully 100%, you know, sustainable. So no plastic use and things like that. So yeah.
Nice. And I've got to say, it's a very likable business, Harrow. I mean, like you're very much up to date with the AI stuff you're doing, the social media, you know, like. And I think it's a great example where people listening to this can go and look at your website and go and look at your socials and start to take note of what is successful within hospitality. And I've really enjoyed speaking about this. So just before we let you go, just a fun question is, where do you like to go on holiday? Obviously, you host people yourself. Is there anywhere which is either on the wish list where you'd just like to tick that off, or is there any place where you always go back to where you enjoy going on holiday? Let us know.
Well, I've been lucky enough that I've traveled a fair bit of the world before I started my career, so don't really need to go far away anymore. And also, the older I get, the less I like flying. Maybe not particularly the flying itself, but the airports, they really don't. I don't agree with it. And obviously, also again, with the sustainability sort of journey as well. And I would say the best places to go on holiday are in the UK. Mm-hmm. You know, COVID has sort of pushed us a little bit to it, but we've had some great holidays in the UK. We've been to North Wales, we've been to Anglesey, we've been to North Yorkshire, we've been to Northumberland, we've been to York County, Norfolk this year, just gone. Mm-hmm. We've been to Suffolk, you know, we did Cornwall. Done Cornwall, don't need to go anymore because there's so many other nice counties. Like, we love Norfolk, we love Suffolk, you know, it's just beautiful. So to be honest, I think the best holidays for me, being based in the UK, is holidays in the UK. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to go to Italy next year because we have not been. My daughters are a bit older now. One is at university, one is going to university. So we wanted to do one last biggish holiday. So that's what we're going to do. But again, we actually might be going by train, you know, thinking about that again, about how we travel. But UK is great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, the weather and all that stuff, but there's plenty to do. You know, we're used to the weather. And I liked a bit of sunshine, but you can get a bit of sunshine. Mm. So for me, why go abroad? Go, you know, stay in the UK, help us, you know, help us, help you, you know, help our little business, stay in the UK.
I like it. And myself and my family, we had 3 holidays in the UK over the last 12 months. And that was great. We didn't miss going abroad at all. Like you say, it saves having to pack a huge suitcase and worry about it. And the great thing is, you know, you can get everything you need locally at the shops anyway, you know, so, you know, it reduces the amount of stuff you have to worry about, basically. So, no, it's a great answer. Harrow, this has been so much fun. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story and all of the cool things you're doing in your business. Certainly one of the things that I'm going to take away from this is the sustainability and also really the focus on consistency. You know, this the two things that I'm going to take away, and hopefully listeners take away that as well. Thank you for listening to this on the Boostly podcast. If there's anybody you know who would like to listen to this, please do share it with them. You can come and carry on the conversation in the Facebook group, which is called the Hospitality Community. And it's a free group to join where we talk about all things hospitality, direct bookings, anything at all, basically, where you can come and join if this is your first time listening to a Boostly podcast. So, Harrow, that leaves us with the last question. Is there like a motto or a mantra or something which resonates with you that you'd like to share with us to take us to the end of the show?
Yeah, I don't really have a motto or a mantra, but when I started my career, there was one boss. He was English, but born in South Africa. And, you know, when he was stressed and all that, he was stressed, we were stressed. And as he always used to say, in with love, out with stress. And it always stuck with me, every sort of job. And then when I became a manager of a team and all that stuff, that always stuck to me, you know. And I didn't say it every day, but once in a blue moon, it just used to come out. And recently, again, you know, I was talking to people on that again. It's like, in with love, out with stress. And I thought that was brilliant, because it's as soon as you say it, it sort of, your bad thoughts sort of goes. And you know, I thought that's brilliant. And we're talking, you know, 27 years ago when I worked for her, you know, and it's still, you know, every now and again it comes back. And, you know, I know it's not a motto or a mantra, but it's a saying which stayed with me throughout my career, really.
Nice, nice. How can we come and find out more about your business, Harrow, or come and, you know, sort of follow you? What are the socials to come and check?
You can find me on all the socials, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. It's either the Hybrid52 B&B, so B and the letter N, B, or just the Hybrid52. You can look at my website, thehybrid52.co.uk, or, you know, if you want to talk to me, you can WhatsApp me. The number is on the website as well. So yeah, if you've got any questions, just ping me a message or direct message me on Facebook or Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn. What else? You know, yeah. Or just give me a call.
I love it. And we will put the notes that you've mentioned or the socials that you sent us on the show notes as well. So people can check those out. However you're listening to this piece of media, you can check out in the show notes as well. So thank you very much, Harrow. That's it from us.
And thank you very much for the invite.
No worries. Look forward to seeing you at the next Boostly social event.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, take care. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.